couple of Christmases ago, we did a series entitled What We Have Learned from the Christmas Story. And we took each of the characters of the Christmas story and looked at their significance. And there's one left that I didn't do then that by the help of the Lord I want to take a look at this morning and see what God has to say about these individuals that were involved in this famous event. So let's look in Luke chapter 2 this morning and begin reading in verse number 8. The Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." Let's pray this morning. Father, I'm thankful, Lord, that you've allowed us one more time to be back, Lord, and to stand behind this desk, Father, and to preach your word. God, I do pray, Lord, that you might use us today, Father, that we may preach, Lord, in clarity this morning. Father, I pray that the word of God, Lord, would not fall, Lord, without, or Lord, that it may return void. But Lord, I trust in your word today, Father, that when the word goes out, that it doesn't return void, but it accomplishes what you sent it out to accomplish. Now, God, I pray, Lord, that you'd use me. Lord, I need an unction of the Holy Ghost this morning to preach. I need strength, Father, to do it. And God, I pray that you might use us, Lord. And I do pray, Father, as has been mentioned already this morning, Lord, there may be somebody here today, probably even more than one, Father. They're here today and they don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. God, I pray that, Lord, that nothing might hinder them today from hearing the Word of God. That nothing, Father, might hinder them from Lord, your conviction. And that nothing might hinder them, Father, from coming to this old-fashioned altar, Lord, and repenting of their sins and putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. God, I pray, let them see the conditions of salvation, faith and repentance, Lord. And I pray, Father, let that be the case today. Lord, strengthen us, Lord, and edify us as your children this morning, Lord, through your word. God, we'll thank and we'll praise you for it all. And we worship Jesus today for knowing, Lord, that he's worthy to be praised and honored. We thank you for it all in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. Most people in our churches today, at least in our churches in America today, are familiar with this passage of Scripture. Even people that rarely crack open a Bible, these verses from Luke have been entered into popular culture through Linus's famous speech in the Charlie Brown Christmas Story. Everybody remembers that between the episodes of Rudolph and between the episode of the Grinch, you'll find Charlie Brown Christmas. And there Charlie Brown struggles the entire time to know what the meaning, the true meaning of Christmas is all about. And they try the Christmas play, and they try the decorations, and they try the tree, and they try the presents, and they try the Christmas cards, and they try all these other things, and nothing satisfies poor old Charlie Brown. He finally yells out in frustration at about the end of the show, "Can someone please tell me what Christmas is all about?" And little old Linus there dragging his blanket along says, "Well, sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what the meaning of Christmas is all about." And he walks over to the center of the stage and says, "Lights, please." And the lights come down on him, and he recalls, memorizes, and quotes this passage of Scripture that I read to you today. And in the Word of God, there's only one announcement of Christ's birth that was recorded in the Scriptures. And that announcement's what I read to you today. Only one invitation from God to anyone to come and visit Mary and Joseph and the infant baby Jesus. And that one invitation goes out to a bunch of shepherds. Why did God in all of His sovereignty choose to send the only invitation for mankind to visit His child in that manger? Why did God choose these shepherds? You ever think about that? You've heard this story. How old are you? Think about it in your mind. Don't tell me, but how old are you? How many times have you heard this story? Have you ever asked yourself the question one time, why did God send the only invitation to a bunch of old shepherds out in the field? A bunch of ragtag men, smelled like the animals, didn't have a home of their own because they lived out in the fields, looked at by society as those that were unworthy, looked at as those by society as those that were looked upon with suspicion. All these things, why did God choose a bunch of ugly, stinking, messed up shepherds to give the only invitation for an eyewitness to the birth of Jesus? Well, I'm one that's under the opinion, I believe it's more than an opinion, but just to use popular vernacular, I'm one under the opinion that God does not work by chance. God does not work by coincidence, and God just doesn't do something because He wants to do something. But there's a purpose for everything God does. And I believe there's a purpose in the Word of God. You and I can know why God chose to send this message unto these shepherds. Now let's look a little bit about shepherds this morning. Brother Jesse in Sunday school asked us today, he said, "What's a shepherd?" Well, I'm going to tell you what a shepherd is. A shepherd is someone who pastures or tends to a flock. They could be sheep, they could be other things as well, but nevertheless, they tend to a flock. By the way, if you look in the Word of God, the first shepherd that you find in the Word of God was Abel. And we also find that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and also Jacob's sons were all shepherds. Shepherds were not allowed to dwell near Egyptians, the Bible tells us in Genesis 46 and 34, because the Egyptians considered the shepherds unclean. Shepherds were religious outcasts. According to the Jewish law, these men were considered unclean. Their line of work prevented them from participating in the feasts or the holy day celebrations that made up the Jewish religious calendar. You say, "Preacher, why is it that they couldn't be involved?" Because when everybody else would leave home and go to Bethlehem, or go to Jerusalem, that is, and be involved in all these celebrations, guess who had to stay behind and watch the flocks? The shepherds. They weren't allowed to go and enjoy all the things of their religion. Shepherds were borderline social outcasts. Since they were constantly on the move to find new pastures for their flocks, they were looked on with suspicion, as many of our transient population is today. Back in the 60s and 70s, the gypsy culture, you remember that culture? I don't know, well, probably didn't have many around here, I'd say, but anyway, out in California, a lot of other places, was a gypsy culture, and they were very transient people. And lo and behold, if they come walking through your town and something ended up missing, guess who was suspected as being the thief? It was the gypsies. Well, that was kind of what the shepherds were. They moved around so much, when the shepherds came into your locale, you got everything under lock and key because you were afraid the shepherds would steal anything. If something got stolen, the shepherds were the ones who would get blamed for the thievery. We also find that rarely did they enjoy any social contact. How many of you have children of your own? And some of you mothers may can testify to this, because my wife has said this to me many times in the past. You know what? You have this new baby and you can't go to work. You got a new baby and you're tending this baby and you're raising this baby and everything you do is around this baby. And you've said it before in your mind, boy, I wish I could just have some adult conversation at some point in time. Any of you ever said that before? When you're trying to keep up a child? Well, hey, these shepherds never had any adult conversation, unless it was among themselves much, because they were always out in the fields and they were always tending to the sheep. That there was no way they could talk to anybody. There was no way they could have any social interaction, because their job was not a job that worked 8 hours and went home. Their job was a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week job. During the day, they led the sheep to grass and water. They watched while the sheep grazed. They kept eye out for predators like wolves and bear and things. And at night, they slept in the sheep pen with the sheep, so that way they could guard against animal attacks or thieves. And a good shepherd could identify each of his sheep by just looking at them. He knew exactly which sheep was who, and his sheep knew him. We also now, if we step back for a moment, imagine that you're God and you want to announce the most amazing, the most incredible, joyous news ever to mankind. Who would you announce it to? If you had the greatest story, nobody else knew it. You had the patent on this story. And it was the greatest story mankind would ever hear. Who would be the first one you'd tell it to? Well, most of us would probably say we'd tell it to dignitaries, or we'd tell it to kings, or maybe even the news media or somebody like that. And you would think in that day that political leaders or religious leaders of the day or military leaders or somebody would have got word first. But no, God chose to find shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night to announce the arrival of His Son. Well, why is that, folks? Why is it that God did that? Why didn't He come and announce it to kings? Why didn't He come and announce it to the religious elite of the day? Why didn't He come and announce it to the wealthy and popular? Why didn't He come and do those things? Well, I believe there's reasons in the Word of God that you and I can look at this morning to understand why God announced this unto the shepherds. Here's the first thing I want you to look at today. The reason I believe in the Word of God teaches why God announced this to the shepherds was because He identified with the shepherds' work. He identified with the shepherd's work. Look what He says there in verse number 8. The Bible says there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, there's some things we can understand just by that verse right there. He identified with their work because of their proximity. The Bible says there were in the same country shepherds. Can I tell you today that if you want Jesus to show up on your behalf, you need to get into the right proximity. The Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse number 8, He said, if we'll draw nigh unto Him, He will draw nigh unto us. And the Bible tells us in John chapter 1 and verse number 11 that He came unto His own. Folks, if you want Jesus to show up in your situation, if you want Jesus to come down into your family, if you want Jesus to take control of your health, if you want Jesus to come down on the job, if you want Jesus to get involved in your circumstances, then you need to draw nigh unto Jesus and get in the right proximity. You can't do that out there in the world. You can't expect to find Jesus close to you when you're running around chasing everything the world offers, when you ain't faithful to God, when you're not praying and not reading His Word, not serving Him like you ought to. You can't expect Jesus to show up all of a sudden and show His Shekinah glory on your scene. Folks, let me tell you something. You got to get in the right proximity and begin to draw close to Jesus. Let me tell you why God showed up to those shepherds. Because they were in the right place, brother. They were in the same country that He was in. They were in the right proximity. They were close by. If you want God to show up, you've got to get close to Jesus. Hey, He identified with their work through their proximity. He also identified with their work through their position. We already told you that shepherds were abiding in the field. Look at their position here. They weren't known as anybody. They were looked on as outcasts. They were looked on as an old vagabonds and poor and not worth anything at all. And shepherding jobs were probably a dime a dozen. Probably had a high turnover rate. This shepherd got tired of taking care of the sheep 24/7. Never had life. He moved on. Hey, somebody else was a hurt and needed a job. Rolled them right on in. You know, it's like working at a fast food joint. One guy leaves, you got 12 others waiting to get his spots. You know what I mean? Shepherds came in. Shepherds went out. They weren't known as much of anything. But yet God sent his angel down to the shepherds. And he said, hey, I want you to look at your position right here. Because I like what Jesus has told us. And he did it through the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 1:28. He said this right here. He said, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and the things that are not to bring to naught things that are. God said, I've chosen the despised things of this world. And I want to understand something today. There's a reason that God chose the despised shepherds. Because in Isaiah, the Bible tells us this. In chapter number 53, in verse number 3, he said about his only begotten son. God said, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid it as it were our faces from him. We were despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Let me tell you something. There's a reason he came to those old despised, afflicted shepherds, because he knew what it was like to be despised. The Bible said he was despised and rejected. He wanted to show the world, hey, let me tell you something. I know what it is that you're going through. We may sit back in this life and say, nobody understands what I'm facing. Nobody knows what it is I'm going through. Nobody's ever been there before. Can I tell you, Jesus has been there already. He's been there and he came through it. And he came through it victoriously. Well, you don't know how I feel. I know the one that does. You don't know what I'm going through. I know the one that does. People don't even like me. They didn't like him either. People won't accept me. They didn't accept him either. Let me tell you something. He was wounded for you and I. He was bruised for you and I. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He came to those shepherds because those shepherds represented him. Hey, he knew their position. He also knew their purpose. He identified with their work by their proximity, by their position, but also by their purpose. What was their purpose? What does a shepherd do? It's real clear in the Word of God. They kept watch over their flock. In this case, the Bible says it was by night. He knew what the purpose of the shepherd was. And the Bible tells us this in John chapter 10. He said, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. He said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that's a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. The wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Hey, let me tell you something. There's a reason that Jesus chose these shepherds. There was a reason that God sent the angel down to these shepherds, because he identified with their purpose. He knew that their purpose was to keep watch over their flocks. And let me tell you something. He knew his purpose to come into this world was to keep watch over his flocks. Jesus Christ, hallelujah, is not a hireling. Aren't you glad? When the devil comes and he's roaring as a lion, seeking whom he may devour, and the slobber's coming out of his mouth, why, his big teeth are coming at us. Jesus said, I'll not run away from him. I'll not be scared by the danger of it all.
I'm ready for a fight, he says. He said, the old hireling, he'll flee when things get hot and heavy. The old hireling will flee when the times of trouble come along. You ever see somebody, they're serving the Lord until the times of trouble come, and then they fade out on God and they run away and all these things. Jesus said, I ain't like that. I'm going to stand my ground. I know my sheep. My sheep know me. And he said, I love them so much, I'll give my life for the sheep. There's a reason that the angel came to those shepherds, because Jesus knew their purpose. Hey, he identified with their work, but he also, not only did he identify with their work, he induced their wonder. He was the cause of their wonder. Look what he says in verses 9. What caused them to be so dumbfounded? What caused them to wonder so much? What caused all these things? Well, I'll tell you what caused it. Number one, the power of God caused it. The power of God's glory caused those shepherds to wonder. Look what he said in verse number 9. He said, and the angel of the Lord came upon him, and the glory of the Lord shone round about him, and they were sore afraid. Now I want to tell you what this glory is. This glory is the Shekinah. This glory is the Shekinah of God. And let me tell you where the Shekinah of God was. This is the same glory that called old Moses while he's up on the mount, brother. Glory to God. It's the same glory that called old Moses while he's up on the mount getting the law of God. And when he came down off of that mount, they had to put a veil on his face because he had so much glory that the people of Israel couldn't stand to look upon him. This was the same glory of God that came down when Solomon dedicated that temple. And the glory of God came down and the smoke rose up, and the priests couldn't minister because all the smoke was so around. Folks, the glory of God was so heavy. And let me tell you something, the glory of God came down upon them shepherds, and it was so awesome. They got so afraid. The Bible said they were sore afraid. Let me tell you something, they begin to wonder, what is all of this? What's happening to us right now? I tell you what, I wish some old dried up Baptist would get inside the glory of God and say, man, I ain't never felt anything like this. Glory to God. I ain't never experienced anything like this. This ain't what I'm used to. Let me tell you something, it'd do a lot of us a lot of good to get inside the glory of God and begin to see the Shekinah. Oh, hallelujah. I'd love to get into where it's so real. It seems like the place just fills and the smoke rises and we can't even minister for the glory of God. Let me tell you something. I think God's looking for a people who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is seeking those who will do that. I hope this morning He'll find somebody that's willing to do it. He said the glory of the Lord. You ever just get dumbfounded by God's glory? You ever get dumbfounded? I'm driving down the highway the other day, and I put on a gospel song. And it's, I guess it's my favorite gospel song, one that the old Tally Trio sings. And it says, His life for mine. His life for mine. How could it ever be that He, God's Son, would die for me? And I tell you right now, tears begin to flow. I couldn't hardly see to drive. I had one wheel on there and another hand up in the air, saying, praise God. I thought the Shekinah had come down in the middle of the car. Glory to God that a king would die for me. An old wretch like me. An old beggar wasn't worthy of anything at all. Hallelujah. But old God came down. The King of Glory left all of that above and came down in this old awful world and took on flesh like I've got and went through the temptations that I go through. Went through all the challenges, and He was victorious over them all. Who am I that a king would die for me? But oh, aren't you glad you can get in the middle of the glory of God? And those shepherds, they got right in the middle of the glory of God. Hey, He induced their wonder. The glory of God. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. He said, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Folks, let me tell you something. You can see the glory of God in your life if you'll just do it. You can experience what it's like to be a part of the Shekinah of God. You can understand what it's like. And we have so many folks don't have any idea what that's all about. But God said He shined the light of the knowledge of His Son so that you and I could see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You and I can begin to experience the Shekinah of God. And it will change our lives forever when we get into the middle of God's glory and get where God can use us. He induced the shepherd's wonder with the power of His glory, with the proclamation of His grace. Look what He's saying. He said, I bring you good tidings of great joy. I bring you good tidings of great joy. You go back and you trace back the roots of the original Greek on that. And when He says, I bring you good tidings, you know what it means? It means literally to evangelize. The first evangelists of the New Testament were the angels come down to evangelize these shepherds. I bring you good tidings of great joy. You know why they stood in such wonder? God sent them a message of grace. Yeah, shepherds, I want you to know you're in Roman bondage right now. Yeah, shepherds, I know you're outcast and everybody looks down on you. But I want you to know I bring you good tidings of great joy. And it's not just going to be to the elite. It's not just going to be to that religious crowd. It's not just going to be to the kings. It's not going to just be to the military. It's not just going to be to the wealthy. But it's going to be to all people. Aren't you glad this morning the gospel goes to all people? Hallelujah. I'm glad this morning. Hey, I'm glad my vision isn't just so small. It's just right here. But if we begin to see the world as a whole and know that every person in this world is a soul that Jesus died for. Everyone. And the Bible said, hey, we must be witnesses in Jerusalem. But then He said, don't have a vision that's so small that all you see is the area that you're in. But He said, you've got to go beyond Jerusalem and see Judea as well. And then you've got to go beyond Judea and see those people in Samaria, and you got to go beyond those areas, and you got to see the people throughout all the world. He said, ye shall be witnesses to all people, He said. Let me tell you something, I'm glad today to know that the gospel is for everyone. When you get in the middle of the glory of God, you'll have a vision that will see everybody. You'll have a vision that won't just see one little old spot on a map, but you'll have a vision that sees throughout the world. You won't just be involved in what's right there, but you'll have a desire in your heart and a hunger and a tug on your soul and an unction of God to begin to do something greater, to begin to do something more, to begin to do something outside of the realm of what we've always been and what we've always seen. I'm looking for a people with vision. God is looking for those that have a vision to see this world as He sees it. Because we're without a vision, He said, my people perish. And if all we got is a vision that can't see 3 foot in front of us, then we're going to die in that vision. We're going to die and be useless for God. But God said, I want you to see beyond what you've always looked at. Open your eyes. The fields are white, the harvest, that He says. He said, you know what the problem is? He said, there's nobody to go out into the fields. There's nobody to go to the fields. We've got to see beyond that. And see, that gospel message teaches us, folks, to see beyond a foot in front of us. That gospel message teaches us to lift up our eyes and see all the fields of this world white unto harvest. White unto harvest. Ready. Ready for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, it induced the wonder with the proclamation of His grace. And then with the picture of His goal. I want you to follow this right here. Look in verse 12. This is real good. I like this. Look at what He says. He said, you're going to find this babe. And He said, you're going to find Him wrapped in swaddling clothes. And you're going to find Him lying in a manger. Two things about this. He said, the first thing I want you to see, He's going to be in burial attire. Swaddling clothes is just little old rags, pieces of rags. Could be strips of whatever cloth it might be. But let me tell you who used swaddling clothes. Poor people did. They didn't have these wonderful burial garments to put people in like a lot of the rich folk did. But they had swaddling clothes. And it was just rags, every little tidbit of stuff they could get. And swaddling clothes in the Jewish culture was used to wrap up a dead body in. And they would take, now follow me right here, because not only was he in burial attire, but he was in borrowed accommodations. I wish somebody would follow me here this morning. What is a manger? It ain't the barns you see out here on the field. It's a hole in the side of a cliff. Somebody hewed a hole out the side of the cliff and they made it large enough they could take animals in and keep the animals out of the elements. Be their places to sleep at night and stuff. The very first place Jesus laid his head down was on borrowed accommodations. The very last place Jesus laid his head down in was borrowed accommodations. Let me tell you something. There was a reason God came to these shepherds. Because he wanted you and I to see this was the ministry of the cross. He wanted you and I to see that this baby was coming to this world for one reason. And that was to die. And that was to die for the sins of mankind. And he wasn't going to be wrapped in a king's garment. But he was going to be wrapped in burial attire, and he wasn't going to be born in the king's palace, but he was going to be born in a borrowed accommodation. Why? Because this world is not his. He said, if my kingdom were of this world, he said, my servants would fight for it. He said, but this kingdom's not for this world, but it's for that world up there. Let me tell you something, he didn't come into a king's palace because he didn't plan on staying here very long. He came and was wrapped in swaddling clothes because he wanted you and I to know he was going to die for us. He came and was in a borrowed tomb because he wanted you and I to know he didn't need that thing very long. And that we that believe and liveth in him shall also never die. We may get laid out here in this cemetery over here, but we ain't going to need it very long. We may get laid over there at that burial place, but we ain't going to need it very long. But at the last trump, oh glory to God, the dead in Christ will rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds. Hallelujah. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. He said, hey, I came to the shepherds because I want you to see what I'm going to accomplish. Hey, aren't you glad you can get right in the middle of the glory of God? Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Won't you just go ahead and preach? Yeah. Yeah. Come on, I'll fan you, brother. Come on. Preach it. Yeah. 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 Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah. I wonder how many of us today buried are dressed in burial clothes right now. See, I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to sin. See, folks, if you're gonna be destined for that kingdom up there, you gotta lay off this world's clothing. And you gotta put on the clothing of death. Paul said, we're dead for Christ's sake. That's what he said, didn't he? Hey, let me tell you something. We need some burial clothes. We need to be wrapped up in some swaddling garments. Because see, we're not destined to live in this. See, the old Egyptians with old King Tut and all them rest of them pharaohs, man, they took all the riches of the world and stuffed them down in those catacombs and in those burial chambers because they thought they could take that stuff with them as they go. Folks, let me tell you something. We don't need to worry about taking anything with us because our treasures are up there. And they're going to be far better than anything else we get down here. I'm glad this morning that my treasures are not here. My treasures are up there waiting for me. And I'm glad that Jesus Christ owns them all. Aren't you glad today? See, Jesus came and was laid in that manger and dressed the way he was because he wanted you and I to see what he was going to accomplish for us. Let me ask you a question. Did he accomplish it for you? Did he accomplish it for you? You say, preacher, he said he died for all men. He did. But that don't help you unless you die out to him. That don't help you unless you give up your life and take his. That doesn't help you unless you come by faith, repenting of your sin and trusting on what he did. His death was for all men. But it will only benefit those that come to him by faith. Has he done that for you? He came and he showed you today why he came the way he did. He showed you today why he did that. Why don't you come to him today? He loves you. God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. His precious and holy one. He loved you. And he died on the cross and was laid in that old borrowed tomb, Brother Donald. Because he wanted you and I to see we won't need the things of this world very long. We're not going to need them very long. Only just a while. Are you saved today? Are you born again by the Spirit of God? Are your sins washed in the blood of Jesus? Is your name written down in the book of life? Are you heaven bound this morning? Or are you tied down to the things of this world? Tied down to the things of the flesh? Tied down to sinful living? Tied down to all these things? Would you die out to those things this morning so you could finally experience life? Jesus, we read it to you in John 10. The thief cometh to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He said, but I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The opportunity today is for you to experience what true life is all about. Would you stand this morning? Brother Eric, would you come? As they come this morning, would you bow your heads in reverence this morning? Folks, this is the most important time of the service when we come to the invitation. This is the time that all of God's people are praying. And all of those that aren't saved, God is speaking to this morning. This is the most important time. You know now why God sent that angel to those shepherds. You know now why his only begotten son, born of a virgin Mary, was laid in a manger and wrapped in swaddling clothes. You know why he did all that. And you know it was all for you. Today I ask you, will you not turn him down? But will you come by faith saying, Lord Jesus, I'm thankful for what you've done for me. And Lord Jesus, I accept what you've done. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. And I accept what you did for me. Forgive me my sins. Save my soul. And come and live within me. I give my life to you. And I take yours. If that be you today while we sing this song of invitation, why don't you come out right now? Take that step of faith and come out right now. And I promise you, God will save you today because His Word says that He would. Brother Eric, go ahead.